Welcome to Music Mingle. I'm Isaac.
And I'm Lizzie.
And we are here to talk to you about music. We wanted to start out with just a little thank you about some feedback we got. For those of you who have listened to our first episode, who have liked it, and who have given us feedback about how we can improve, about things we could talk about, or about things that you really enjoyed about the episode, it was awesome. We are very humbled by the response our friends have given this podcast. So thank you for that. One of my favorite pieces of feedback that we got was actually how this podcast, although it talks about music and it's designed to be a music, I mean, it's in the name, Music Mingle Podcast, it is definitely relevant to a lot of topics outside of just music. Last episode, we talked about, are people born talented? That question, right? Of whether or not talent is innate, whether or not we can define talent as being something you're born with or if it's something developed. And honestly, that stretches so far beyond music. I totally believe, right? It goes to other classroom subjects as well as skills and trades. And there's a lot of things that people are, you know, born with. Maybe it's not music, but maybe it is. And I think that was a super cool insight that I didn't think about last time.
Yeah. So we hope that all of you who listened to our last episode found something that was relevant for you, whether you're a musician or not. And we hope that this episode is no different. Today we want to talk about perfectionism and how we can overcome it, maybe. Okay, so I want to start out by talking about my experience with perfectionism. I think that everyone deals with perfectionism to some extent. I began playing the viola when I was 10, and I started piano when I was 7, but those 3 years are so distant that I don't remember much about that. And I wasn't riddled with perfectionism at that age. At 10, I started viola, and I was doing great. I took really well to the instrument, and I really enjoyed playing it. And I also didn't have a lot to compare myself with. When you play the viola, especially at a young age, a lot of times you're kind of the only one. Like in school orchestras, it's kind of just like you, maybe somebody else. If you take private lessons, you're like way better than anyone who's going to come into that orchestra. So I really didn't have any problems with my abilities or my skill set at the time. College is kind of where perfectionism hit me the most, mostly because I started playing really hard music. And I don't say that to toot my own horn. It's more just, that's kind of what's expected of you in college. You really have to push yourself. And I think that that was kind of when I first was really doubting not only my abilities, but just my character as a musician and whether I really had what it took to move an audience and to actually be a successful artist and creator. I feel like that was the first time that I was like obsessed with the idea that I never really sounded good. And I think that's, I'm not alone in that. I don't know. I think when you play really hard music or when you're with people who you feel like are way better than you, it can be really hard to feel like you sound good ever. And that can be really sad as a musician, especially when you're in college and that's what you're studying and that's what you're working toward.
Yeah. It's tough, right? Because we, as musicians, want to be the best we can, right? And so in order to unlock our potential, sometimes we go to competition as a way of pushing ourselves, right? Self-motivation is great and ideal, but also we turn to like comparison. We turn to competition, and those will help us improve. At least in my experience, they've helped me improve, but they also can lead to an extreme degree of like self-criticism that is definitely unhealthy. And that's kind of what we are referring to when we say perfectionism this episode, right? That degree of self-criticism that is unhealthy, that doesn't help your growth. In fact, it probably stunts your growth more than it helps it. There's a different podcast that I listened to recently, and the guest said the pursuit of perfectionism is a waste of time, right? It totally is. I 100% agree with that statement. It is something that can theoretically help us get better by pushing us, but it's not going to be worth our while if we just push and push to be perfect and perfect and perfect. No matter what degree of a player you are, if you're trying to be a professional musician, that remains true. I totally believe that. My personal experience with this is I honestly haven't been too plagued with perfectionism. In high school, I think I somewhat experienced perfectionism, mostly through Allstate Band. I come from Texas, and Allstate there is kind of a big deal where it's a big competition, and the best players in the state, quote unquote, the best players, all vie for a very limited number of spots, right? Texas is a big state. There's a lot of students, and the music programs are a huge deal there. So at the highest level, it's like the Juilliard kids, right? Are the kids who are going to Allstate in Texas. It's kind of a big resume item. But as I journeyed and vied for a spot in the Allstate band throughout high school, I grew a lot, first and foremost. That's what I think about when I think of that experience. I grew a lot, but I also developed some unhealthy habits where I was pushing myself in a practice room to be perfect, to play a piece perfectly. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have made Allstate my senior year.
That's the hard thing about perfectionism, is that I feel like we get into this mindset that, like, if you are pushing yourself to, like, an insane degree, a lot of times that does produce results. That's the sad thing, is, like, at what cost? But, like, honestly, that's I think, why a lot of people suffer from this, is because, like, if you are in the practice room for hours and you're, like, working your tail off for something, a lot of times it does pay out.
Yeah, I think the first time that perfectionism truly took a hold of me, or that I started to enter into perfectionism, was after my junior year. I auditioned for Allstate, and I was like at the level of audition for Allstate. There's a couple levels you have to go to, right? I was at the area auditions to make the Allstate band. And I remember I counted the amount of mistakes, roughly, that I made in my performance, and I counted 8 mistakes. And I was like, you know what? That's not a lot, right?
Yeah, that's good.
I was like, that's pretty good for like how strict I was being with myself. Like, I could have crescendoed more here, but that was it. And I was like, 8 mistakes. And then I got like 8th place. And I was like, what? And I, not to say like your place corresponds with how many mistakes you make.
Everyone else made 7.
7, 6. No. What actually did happen though, was I talked to my band director, and he told me the people who make Allstate are the people who have 2 or less mistakes. And I was like, what? Like, I kind of didn't believe him at first. But then the next year came around, and it was time for me to prep my audition pieces. And I went with that mentality. I was like, 2 or less mistakes. I can't be perfect. I know that, but 2 or less mistakes. And that's actually what I did the next year. I went and I kind of lucked out with a good run and got under, I think it was exactly 2 mistakes, and I made it in. But that like mentality of like, I can't make a mistake. And if I make a mistake, my chance to achieve this dream of mine is ruined. And that motivation was great. Like, it helped me to practice better and practice harder, right? But it was taxing, totally. And so when I got to college, I think I was already kind of taxed in a little ways. And I think that's why I didn't pursue performance in any degree, because I felt like I was good. And I felt like I had skills to pay the bills and I could play well, but I didn't feel this passion to push myself anymore. And I don't know if that was because I pushed myself too hard. There's people way worse than me, but for sure. I can't imagine how like hard people push themselves and how hard it is to have your whole life hinging on how good you play, or your whole career hinging on how many mistakes you make in one audition. You know, that's terrifying to me, honestly.
Yeah, that was something that was super crippling to me when I was doing college auditions, was I was like, my whole future of studying music kind of hinges on this like one audition. I think that can get really tricky. I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of what perfectionism really is and what it looks like, so that our listeners can maybe get an idea of if it's something they might struggle with in certain aspects of their lives, and also how to combat this. So this is taken from a website called Very Well Mind. It's a website that talks about mental health and other things. It gives a list of perfectionist traits. So the first one is all or nothing thinking. So we kind of talked about this with the mistakes. It's like, if you make a certain amount of mistakes versus if you make no mistakes, like, you have to do it all the way, like, be perfect, or else it's not worth doing.
Yeah.
The second one is being highly critical. This one is so hard. My teacher always tells us to record ourselves, which is actually an amazing way to get better at playing your instrument. But there's nothing that makes me feel worse about my playing ability than listening back to a recording, which is kind of why I've like never wanted to do like 100 days of practice and post anything on Instagram or whatever. I just feel like I am so critical. I play a video back of me playing and I'm like, oh gosh, no one wants to hear that. But yeah, it's like those voices in your head that are super critical of like every move that you're making. Next one is feeling pushed by fear. We want to be motivated by like wanting to accomplish something or wanting to get better at something.
Yeah.
The next one is having unrealistic standards. I think for me, that would be counting my mistakes. That would be unrealistic for me. Mostly because I feel like, what do you even count as a mistake? I don't even know what I would do with that. But I also think that if I did count mistakes during a performance, I would probably make a million mistakes because I'd be like, dang it, there was one. And then I'd make like 10 after that. But I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, no.
The next one is focusing only on results, which I think that's interesting, instead of focusing on like that journey. Something my teacher has also talked a lot about in my lessons the past couple of years is like, it's okay to be where you are, and you're on a journey like across the country when you're learning a piece, and you might be in the Midwest, you know, and that's okay. You don't have to be all the way to the end, your destination. The next one is feeling depressed by unmet goals. Next one is fear of failure. I think that one can really paralyze you. Procrastination is the next one, which kind of goes along with that. Like when you fear so much that you're going to mess up, that you just don't do it. I've been there. Defensiveness. I think this one comes into play for me when I'm like in a lesson and I've worked really hard and then my teacher gives me feedback that I'm like, oh, I really want good feedback because I've been working so hard. Next one is low self-esteem, which is kind of an obvious one, I guess, if you are kind of putting your self-worth in the hands of whatever activity or art you're trying to create.
Yeah. Is that the end of the list?
Yep.
That's good. So can you give that whole list again, just rapid fire? And if you relate to any of these, maybe you have some perfectionist tendencies. I'm not saying you're a perfectionist, but it's good to recognize. First step is recognizing, right? So what is the list again?
Yeah, all or nothing thinking, being highly critical, feeling pushed by fear, having unrealistic standards, focusing only on results, feeling depressed by unmet goals, fear of failure, procrastination, defensiveness, and low self-esteem.
Crazy. It's totally hard because, like we said, and I think the reason that perfectionism is a plague is because it low-key works, right? Like it leads us to, if we measure our success, right? And if we count those mistakes that we make, arguably most of the time, right? We will make less mistakes if we count the mistakes and if we work towards it. And like, I don't even know what a mistake is either, but it also kind of stunts your growth. And at least in my experience, I feel like when I was counting my mistakes in my Allstate auditions, I measured my success based on audition pieces, right? So I would learn 3 songs, 1 on snare, 1 on marimba, 1 on timpani a year. I mean, outside of that, I learned a couple more for school and whatnot. But those were like the 3 songs that I was focusing on. And those defined my technique. So if 1 year there was a song that was really percussion, for example, flam heavy, I had a lot of flams, I'd get my flams really good that year. But there's so many other things that I can do that I was not focusing on because I was just focusing on that one piece. Because that's the only piece that matters. That has to be perfect. Your Allstate audition. So in truth, I honestly was missing a lot of fundamentals, and I kind of paid for it when I came to college and was like, I want to study music now. Yes, I gained a lot of skill and I got really good at certain pieces, and certain etudes helped me develop certain skills and all that. But when I came to college, they were like, oh, you need to fix X, X, and X because you did not develop those skills to an acceptable level before you came to college. And of course, I guess there's something to say about I got into college, there's that, and a decent music school. But I definitely was not like a virtuous musician in the sense that I had all the skills to pay the bills. I had the skills to get into Allstate in 2018, but I didn't have the skills to come to college and just be the best player in BYU. Like there were still people there who were teaching me so much, which is great. I don't need to be the best player anywhere. But I don't know. Perfectionism helps you get better, but it doesn't necessarily mean that is going to get you to your end goal, whatever your end goal may be, I believe.
Yeah, I think we've talked a little bit about how probably been too positive about the results of perfectionism.
Yeah.
Because yes, it's true that if you become really hyper-focused on your performance, that you probably will do better than if you are really loose about it. But I don't think that it helps with performance anxiety or with creativity or with loving what you do. Like, I think there's a lot of things that struggle if you put too much emphasis on wanting everything to be perfect. So going along with that, I just wanted to touch on, and I know this is probably a way bigger topic that we could probably have a whole episode on, but I just wanted to touch on this research that's from a magazine called Strings Magazine. Of course, I love that name. So here it says that these are numbers that are corresponding with musicians that are in the industry, but I'm sure this could also very much correspond with people who are in college or going to school for music as well. The numbers here, this is taken from over 2,000 professional musicians. It says 68% struggled with depression and 71% struggled with anxiety and panic attacks out of that grouping. So take that as you will. Again, this is something that probably could use its own episode, mental health and music and all of that. But I just wanted to touch on that a little bit, talking about perfectionism, because I think that that kind of plays into it a little bit. I think when you live a life of constantly not being enough or feeling like you're not enough, it can really take a toll on your mental health. And so I think that's one of the things that falls by the wayside when you trade success and having a good performance and being focused on perfectionism versus not being focused on perfectionism and maybe giving up a perfect so-called performance.
It's kind of hard truth. I love music school, but I think music school enables perfectionism 100%. At least our music school experience. I guess for one thing, yes, you have to audition, you have to apply, and there's constant innate comparison just by having a studio full of people that you're playing with all the time and playing with them in orchestra and everything. But beyond that, those students who take every opportunity and every gig that they have the chance to do will thrive, right? At least in the eyes of the faculty, who will in turn heap praise upon them, who will in turn give them more opportunities. And some of those may be great performance opportunities that are learning experiences, but some of them might just be grunt work. And I've seen music students at my own school, in my own studio, been taken advantage of because they're just willing to do everything. Therefore, they're just given grunt work. And it's kind of sad, honestly, seeing these really talented people just do so much and their whole lives are just taken up with music. And yes, gigs are cool, but sometimes it's just unpaid gig after unpaid gig and grunt work here, grunt work there, where it's not necessarily a good experience for them. They're just kind of doing it. And I hate that. That's a perfectionist tendency to want to do everything and please everybody and be able to be perfect, right? I'm going to do every single gig. I'm going to do every single performance that I can, but we don't need to do that. You know, I don't think we do, at least. Maybe yeah. My professor might disagree. I don't know. But I think that's because it benefits the school so much to have students like that who are perfectionists. And it just kind of happens all the time without them trying. It just kind of happens that perfectionism is enabled. I don't know.
Yeah. I think some more of this article in Strings Magazine can also speak to that. So I just wanted to read a little bit. Here it says, "It isn't the music," says Jacob, a 22-year-old violinist. "Growing up, I loved how music made me feel. Playing violin gave me self-esteem because I got a lot of praise for it. After high school, music school was where I found a meaningful community of friends. Everyone there liked the same things I did. I felt safe in a way I didn't in high school. But the pressure of conservatory studies took a toll. My teacher got angry when I did anything wrong. He spent whole lessons shouting while I flinched away. Sometimes I could hardly play a note because he would scream, 'No,' before I even got started. I felt like he was sucking my love of music out of me. Then I'd go to orchestra and my stand partner would point out every tiny mistake I made. I was terrified the conductor would single me out and make me play in front of everyone." Why is that like a real thing? Everyone struggles with being terrified that your conductor is going to make you
relatable.
Play in front of everyone. That actually happened to me once. I think it was my sophomore year. I was finally sitting in the front of my section And this was like the first time I wasn't the principal, but I was second chair. And it was like the first time in my college career that I was even toward the front at all. And I remember the conductor was like, okay, violas, you're not playing this rhythm right. So we're going to have the front stand like sing it for us. And so we had the principal sing it, and apparently she didn't do it right. And then he had me do it, and apparently I didn't do it right. And I'm sure that my face was so red. I think he probably got through like four people and nobody did it right. It wasn't even that like we weren't doing the rhythm right as much as maybe we weren't doing it like the way he wanted. But anyways, regardless, it was very embarrassing.
You're like, I'm smart, I swear.
Yeah, no, I can figure out rhythms. Well,
maybe.
Maybe.
You're great, you're great.
But I just thought that was interesting because this Jacob is talking about how it really, it's not the music that pulls people into this place of perfectionism or mental health problems. It's really just kind of the environment sometimes can be really toxic. And so that's kind of why we wanted to speak on this, is because we feel like this is something that is not just a music thing just because of the music. It's something that we kind of create this atmosphere around music and trying to like have a career in music. And there's so many aspects of music that make it really stressful. And we just wanted to speak to that so that people know that they're not alone and also that they can find ways to combat it. So,
yeah. And, you know, like we said in the beginning, hopefully this is relevant to you in whatever aspect of life relates to you the most, right? If that's not music, then replace the word music with whatever word is necessary to be relevant to your life. There's totally tons of ways that you can experience perfectionism, and we're not trying to put it into a box per se. It's just something that affects a lot of people. So with that being said, we've talked about how it affects us. We've talked about what it looks like maybe and how you can recognize it in yourself. And if you're all right with this, Lizzie, I guess we can start moving on to recommendations. How can we fix this? What's the remedy?
Yeah, I want to start by talking about a little story that happened to me recently, which is probably what kind of spurred us wanting to talk about this. But a couple weeks ago, I got together with my chamber group that I played with this last semester, and we played the Debussy Sonata in F for viola, flute, and harp, and it's gorgeous. If you want to go listen to it after this episode on your car ride or whatever you're doing. And so we recorded the three movements, and I got the recording back, and even before I got the recording back, I was like so scared that it was just gonna, I could like hear a million times more all the mistakes that I knew I'd made in the moment. And it's crazy how like you'll make a mistake and then like you remember that mistake and you don't remember it for like years to come. But like, obviously a few days later when we get the recordings back and stuff, I remembered like the mistakes I made and I was hearing them so loud in the recording. And it was a really hard week for me, like musically, because I was like very paralyzed by what I wanted it to sound like and what I felt like I wasn't living up to. And I had a few like friends and family members listen to it and they were like, this is fine. So obviously it was probably fine. But I just was kind of hyper focused on all of the mistakes I was making. And I was very close to like reaching out to the TA that was helping us with recording and mixing and all of that. And being like, hey, could you like somehow auto-tune me? Or do something that will make me sound better, more airbrushed.
And I wonder if that's a request he gets often. Like, yeah. In a school full of perfectionists. Every time somebody records something, like, please just fix that.
Make me sound like not me? Yeah. So I was thinking about reaching out to him and I wasn't even sure what he could do. But then I stopped and I kind of realized, okay, I need to take a step back. And I need to realize that I did a great job and I did the best that I could do. And those mistakes, this was really the kicker. This is the question we have to ask ourselves, is can mistakes and beauty coexist? And I feel like they can. That's something I had to kind of like learn through the course of that week. And now I feel like I look back on those recordings these couple weeks later, and I'm really proud of what I did. There are still mistakes, and I can still cringe a little bit at them, but most people don't notice them, and I do feel like overall the recordings are very beautiful. It's a very beautiful piece, and I think I was musical to the best of my ability. So I think that's the biggest question that helps us to understand how we can weed out perfectionism a little bit is, can this mistake that I just made coexist with beauty and with goodness?
I love that. I filmed a music video recently, and as I was recording the music, kind of same situation in a recording scenario and a recording setup, you feel pressure to be perfect, right? Because it is going to last forever and you get really stressed about it. And as I was recording, I think I had a similar thought come to mind, right? That like, can beauty and mistakes coexist? For me, that more phrased itself as, I am an individual who's worked really hard to be here, and what I'm playing right now is my own personal touch and performance, and nobody can take that away from me, right? So now every time I look back on that, I don't think about the mistakes that I made, which there are mistakes on that recording. I hate to say it, but there are, as hard as I tried. But I try not to look on it as mistakes, and try to maybe I'm characterizing mistakes wrong here. Maybe that's why I'm not the best in the world, but I at least find happiness in saying my mistakes are my own personal touches, and those are things that I struggled with, but that's real and that's truth and that's beautiful. Totally. Thank you for sharing that. I love that.
Yeah, so I also want to share just one kind of nugget of advice that came to me while I was listening to what one of my peers preparing for her recital. She was playing for me and asking for feedback, and she sounded really great. But she was just struggling with kind of these thoughts of like, oh, is it going to be good? Is this recital going to be something I'm like proud of? Or how is this going to go? And something that kind of came to me was that I think that musicality is our best antidote for perfectionism. So I just want to talk a little bit about what musicality is and then why I think this.
This is great, by the way. I didn't know what musicality was until well into high school. It always confused me. So thanks for defining it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if there's like one strong definition, but one of the definitions is sensitivity to music, like having just kind of like an ear or sensitivity or like draw to a certain musical idea or nuance. To me, I think it's being able to produce music that's emotional and true to you. I think musicality is kind of the missing piece when it comes to a lot of music education, because a lot of times we will focus on technique and we'll focus on getting notes right and all of that. But I think musicality is everything that's kind of off of the staff. The dynamics and the note or the words that are written in, and also the things that you write in yourself that are like, oh, get louder here, or try this idea, or stop here, or whatever. I think that that's kind of where the musicality is kind of outside of where the notes actually are. Like, learn the notes and then as fast as you can, and then move on to musicality. That's something I try and do. But I think that your musical choices make you who you are as a musician and as a creator and as an artist. And so I think that when you focus more on musicality and more on what you're adding to the music world and more on what you can give to an audience, I think that's kind of the one thing that I've found that's helped me to get outside of myself a little bit and be more focused on the art that I'm creating and less focused on how I'm doing it.
Yeah. I think I love that. I love the way you phrase that. As we use musicality to combat perfectionism, we embrace ourselves and we reject this perfectionist idea of who we want to become. I love that.
Yeah, I think that it's imperative to never lose sight of why we play music. Because I think at the end of the day, we play music to touch people's hearts and I think that musicality is kind of the way we do that, is to find our own voice. So that's my overall takeaway.
Yeah, I love that. I think, too, one of the best pieces of advice that I got from my high school director about auditioning for college was that college directors and college professors don't want to teach perfect musicians, right? They want to teach. They want to improve you so that if they can give you a lesson and be like, oh, this is something I know I can take your playing to the next level with, that will be attractive to them. I believe, at least. And if I've, as I've, in the past, as I have adjudicated competitions or overseen auditions, I've thought similar thoughts that, yes, this person doesn't have to be perfect. I hope and expect that they play at a high level. But if I can clearly know in my mind what I will teach them and I know that they will accept my teaching, that is attractive to me, you know? So that just being said, I think that boils down to we can be ourselves and present ourselves in an audition scenario, right? Instead of me being stressed for my Allstate audition about only making two mistakes, instead focus on the character of the piece, work hard and express yourself, and you're creating art. This is art, right? It's not a science of ones and zeros. It is a beautiful thing. I just want to share a quick shout out to the Happiness Lab podcast. They had an episode recently about perfectionism that I thought had some great concrete tips and steps for you if you feel like you are struggling with perfectionism, things that we can do to improve. So in addition to this, using our musicality to embrace ourselves and reject perfectionism, one thing that was mentioned by Jordana Confino, who's a Yale law grad, who is a person who said that she was a perfectionist all throughout high school, always rising to the top of her class through college, getting into some of the best, you know, one of the best law schools in America, graduating top of her class there too. She has a lot of experience as a perfectionist and gave some great ideas. She suggested, for one, to make a thought journal. This is kind of a process here, so bear with me. The first suggestion is make a thought journal of negative thoughts, right? That means you're learning to recognize that critical voice and what phrases it uses. And once you get really good at recognizing that internal critical voice, she recommends to draw your inner critic. And she says that she draws a little goblin with like a squeaky voice and like just a creepy little like, you're not good enough. I don't know. That was funny. You can draw your own inner critic however you want. Maybe you skip the drawing step. But the next step would be to make a rebuttal. At the very least, learn to recognize what you're saying about yourself, those negative thoughts, and then make a rebuttal. But the key is to not match a mean tone when you're making the rebuttal. So a lot of times you're saying really mean things to yourself over and over again. That's perfectionism. So in turn, use a compassionate voice. Something like, hey, I know what you're trying to do here. Maybe you think you know what's best for me, but this isn't the way to go about it. Instead, I'm going to do X. Or instead, I need to recognize, in the case of musicality, I need to recognize that I am my own person, that I'm making music that's real in the moment. And that's why live music is beautiful. You know, it's made in the moment. Talk to yourself as if you were somebody else who was struggling. It's like if you had a racehorse, after a race, you wouldn't go whip it after it's all tired. The racehorse ran a good race. You'd congratulate it no matter what place it got. You'd be like, good job. I'm not going to go whip a racehorse after a race that's tired. So recognize that you're struggling. We're all struggling, and that's okay. That's the first kind of process, is making a thought journal, recognizing those thoughts and responding to them. Another one is simply just recognizing the trade-off. This is for people who say yes to everything, people who just try to make other people happy. Recognize that every time you say yes to an opportunity, you give up something else in your life, every single time. If you are helping give tours in a music building or something, or if you're helping do work that you don't need to do around the school, or around anywhere you are at in life besides music-related business, no matter what you're doing, you're rejecting something else. So recognize that first and foremost, right? One way you can do that is waiting at least 2 hours to accept new opportunities or responsibilities. She said that she waits 2 hours every time. So if somebody's like, hey, I want you to play a gig in the business school and it's unpaid, what do you say? You don't have to like say yes or no right away. Give yourself 2 hours to recognize pros and cons, what role it's going to play in your life. If you have time, if you want to do it, and then give an answer. And that'll help, if you have that policy in place, that will help so much in not only getting out of things, but also just genuinely putting yourself on the right path, I think. So only say yes to projects that improve your happiness. That's kind of the key to all of that. You're better at work that way, right? When you work towards something that makes you happy, you're going to work better. So again, the first suggestion is make a thought journal, make rebuttals to your negative thoughts in a positive light. And then second tip would be to recognize the trade-off of saying yes, right? You're always giving something up. So learn to say no, whether that be through waiting or whether that be through setting limits for yourself, like I'm only going to improve my happiness in every project I do. So with that being said, be nice to others. Sometimes our inner voice reflects our thoughts towards others or ourselves. So if we're nice to everybody, we'll be nicer to ourselves in turn. That's what I have to say about it.
Yeah, I love that. I think it goes without saying that being perfect is not something that we can accomplish in this life. So this chat about perfectionism is a really important one, but we also need to know that to aim for a perfect quote-unquote performance or to have perfect technique, those just aren't realistic expectations for ourselves or others. So as musicians, we, like Isaac said, need to be kind to ourselves, kind to others. And as I said earlier, to understand and remember why we make music is to touch people's hearts and to bring more joy into the world. So we hope that as you try and combat your own perfectionism, that your musicality can come through and your own voice can come through, and people will be touched and empowered by what you are giving to them. Thank you so much for listening to Music Mingle. We're so glad you're here and we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please give us a follow, get all the notifications so that you know when our next episode is dropping, and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts if that's where you're listening.
Join us next time for a conversation about the role of private instructors and public band directors and how they overlap. See you next time on Music Mingle.